Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's begin now.
All right, these headphones work. We're good. Welcome in After Hours, 6 to 9 p.m. tonight. JT, Noah, Dusty Likens with you all evening. Until then, we have a couple of guests that will join us tonight. Pete Sweeney at 7 o'clock. Obviously, if you've been on your cell phone or you've been anywhere, it's been, just always Chiefs news. Like, it just never ends. And so we'll have Pete Sweeney on at 7. Matt Tate, who's all in with the Kansas Jayhawks, obviously, you know, he'll join us at 6:30. Some news out of there. Camp day as Lance Leipold signed an extension with the Kansas Jayhawks. Plus, man, their basketball team, man. Tough loss last night to BYU at home. So we'll visit with him about that. Plus, the Big 12 tournament that is coming up is going to be electric. I'm excited about that. We talked about that last night. But I have a new hobby.
Oh, boy. Is it trying to find new headphones at the last second?
Dude, that's intense.
Because that looked like what KU basketball looked like in the second half last night, trying to figure out what's happening.
There was a lot of turnovers. Well, it's like this little, like, I don't know, the little, like, aux part, it doesn't work. And so I can't hear anything. And that's kind of a big deal here. But no, so obviously, maybe not obviously, but I drive from Lee Summit to here. I don't know what your path is.
Raymore.
Okay, so you're similar. So what, do you come down 291, get on 50, and then take the loop on 470 and get to 435?
Actually, I usually get off at Nall or Metcalf and then just come across.
Oh, so you take Nall in? That's a nice drive.
Yeah.
I do like that. It's a little longer than the normal one, but anyways, new hobby. I want to be very honest and very clear. I don't like overly speed. Like, is 75 okay in a 65? Or is that?
Totally. Okay. Especially on the highway.
Okay. I love beating my original ETA. That has become such a satisfying feeling for me that when I plug in my ETA or plug in the address to this place and it says arrival time 503 or 437, challenge accepted. And I'm 1,000% almost always beating my ETA. I also love it because there's nothing worse in traffic than when you come around a bend and it's just stalled. And you're like, oh, but like if you have that satellite on your phone and you can see the yellow, or even worse, if it's just red, veer out. Or your phone will redirect you somewhere else. I am definitely older now. This is an old man thing probably, or a mid-30s type of guy vibe. I'm into beating the ETA. I like beating the ETA.
I don't look up my ETA. I just go with it. So
it's kind of nice.
So you always look up your ETA before coming in?
Every time now. I've done it for the last 7 trips here.
That's crazy. No,
I know.
I just usually, I'm like, all right, I know where I'm going. I look at the clock. I'm like, I usually get here in about 30 to 35 minutes. Let's see if I get into that range or earlier. Like when I was running for Fesco in the morning a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh man, I'm getting here pretty early. There's no traffic, so I'm swinging it like real easily.
My favorite thing to do is if I go on a trip, like if I go to St. Louis and see friends, or if I go to, in the summer, go to like Lake of the Ozarks, I'm always a big, like, I'm a big leave in the morning guy. Like, I'll get up at 5 a.m., and I think that's just because that's the way my family raised me, and I promise you, we'll talk sports. But I also have a few friends that are morning people. Very rare thing to have with a large group of friends. And so there's times where, like, my buddy will be like, yeah, just, you know, leave at 5 in the morning and get down here. Dude, I'll get in my car, ETA, 8:31. And if I can get there by 8:26, we're starting early. Because that's how much I love it. 913, Dusty, I've been doing that since I was 16 years old. It is really fun to try and beat your time.
Oh, so I'm nervous because we were talking before the show. I'm going to Gulf Shores next week with my girlfriend's parents. Well, we're leaving Saturday early morning. Her dad is a huge, huge fan of getting up early and leaving. I'm totally fine with that.
So you guys are driving?
We're driving, and then me, my girlfriend, and her mom are flying back while her dad stays. So, but her dad's like, hey, can you drive during Saturday because it's a 15-hour drive? I said, sure. Right. I'm like, okay. I'm like, do I speed a little, make sure I keep up with the ETA that he has, or how am I going to do it? It'll be interesting when he tells me, hey, get behind the wheel, let's go, I'm tired.
You know you're really doing it well when you share your ETA with the person that you're getting ready to go meet, and they say, man, you're really beating your time. Damn right. Somebody says, what about in the Chicago area where they drive 90 and a 60? Does that Maps app take going 30 over? I don't know. I've never been to Chicago. Ever.
I'm sorry, aren't we in Kansas City?
I don't know. Somebody from the 785, my house to Hayes is 3 hours and 40 minutes. Always try to beat 3:30. It's just a great feeling. Now, it's annoying how, you know, you'll be into a song and then the voice pops over. Mine's like a British lady. In 2.3 miles, take the exit to 69. All right. Do you think your girlfriend's dad is more excited to get there or more excited for when everybody gets on the plane and leaves?
Probably when everyone gets on the plane and leaves. Because
there's nothing wrong with that either. Right, still loves everybody, but it's like, I'm at this place by myself now.
Pretty he's pretty nice. Yeah. And it was great last year when I went. It was me, my girlfriend, and her dad. And me and her dad connect because he loves basketball, so we were just watching. It was conference tournament that week.
Love
my girlfriend's like, I came for a beach, and you're watching basketball with my dad. This is not what I signed up for.
Damn right.
And so her dad's coming back, I think, the Tuesday. Big 12 tournament starts Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He's going all day Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He's like, listen, I've got my whole week planned out. I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to be home.
Love that. So some news came out today. Chiefs facility about the grades. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really care. I know that there are sub conversations, but I mean, I just think that the only thing that I will say about this news that came out is I have two takes. One, it's not great that you're second to dead last. And that you were 29th last year and, you know, you went further down, right? You got to do a little bit better than that. I also find it insanely hilarious that this comes out this morning and then 3 minutes later, there's a press conference that the Chiefs are having where they're talking about renovating the stadium and making it new. Coincidence? Maybe. I don't know. I just thought that was funny. But the treatment of facilities, D plus. Food and cafeteria, C minus. Nutritionist, dietitian, F. Locker room, F. Training room, D. Training staff, F. Weight room, C plus. Strength coaches, C plus. Head coach, A plus. And ownership, this is just, I didn't know this was a thing. Did you know there's a such thing as an F minus?
Not until I saw the Commanders with a total grade of an F minus.
F minus. The number one complaint when it comes to the facilities in the locker room is the locker room. Though the players received actual chairs with backs to sit in at their lockers in responses to last year's feedback, it did not change the fact that the locker room is overdue for a renovation. What adds to the frustration is the management told the players that renovations would come after 2022 season. The players went on to win the Super Bowl, and when they arrived back, their facilities for the 2023-24 season, they realized the team never followed through with their promised renovation, other than adding chairs. The player's issue was with quality of care is mostly centered around the training room. The players feel that the training room is significantly understaffed, with only 43% of the team responding, and that they get an adequate amount of one-on-one treatment time. Players feel that the staff is unwilling to provide the necessary treatment to support recovery and performance. For example, players are not allowed to get treatment, soft tissue work, yada yada, other care for sorenesses and day-to-day issues, a regular offering across the NFL. So you can find the documents. We can sit here and talk about how this is, you know, whatever and whatnot. But look, what this kind of reminded me of, and maybe I'm off my hinges here, but what this kind of reminded me of, JT, is when we were in middle school, maybe other people did this, maybe you didn't. I went to public school. I don't know if they did this in private school. But at the end of every year, at least two times in two different classes, your teacher would walk around the room and put a piece of paper and a survey on your desk. And they would say, fill this out, answer the questionnaire, and do not put your name on it. Leave it anonymous. And what was the survey most often going to be? Did you feel that you had a good learning experience taking this course? 1 through 5. 5 being strongly agree, 1 being poorly disagree. And I never knew, you know, what people put. Some people just put 3 all the way down. Some people just put 4s all the way down. Some people, like me, read through the whole thing and gave an honest opinion. And I normally never would go below a 3. But you never know how people vote or how people feel, and I think this is an example of that. Right, you heard what we were reading just now, that they were upset that there wasn't enough staff to work on day-to-day stuff, deep tissue. You can change that. They can hire new people. They're upset with the promises that were given towards the locker room and stuff and that wasn't renovated. But yet then today, the announcement is coming that they're going to renovate an entire thing if, in fact, it is voted upon and voted yes. And I know there are some of you out there that have your opinions on whether you're voting. That's the beautiful part about being a voter. You can vote yes or you can vote no. So however you feel about that. But I don't think that this is something that when you look at it, people go, that's not good for the Chiefs. Now, if you're a Commanders fan, you don't really have a lot of say because you don't have the clout the Chiefs have. And that, I think, is the important part of the conversation, is that, yes, things need to be addressed. Things need to be done. These are your employees and your people in your house that are giving you these results. So that needs to be addressed. And that's something that is not, you know, cancerous or something that can cause something to be destroyed. That's not what this is. This is something where, like, I guarantee you, Mark Donovan, Clark Hunt, and others in this sort of field are looking at this going, all right, this isn't good. We got to do something about it. But it's not something that, like, people are going to be like, oh, I'm not going to the Chiefs. I'm not going to go to the Chiefs, man. I'm not going to sign with them. No, man, I need deep tissue massages every day, and you can't get it there. That's not the case. This is something that where they're at 31st, not great. Easily fixed, yes. And I would not be surprised if next year they go from, like, 31st to, like, 16th.
Well, I thought it was funny was I think the Patriots were either like 20, they were higher 20, so like 27, 28, or 29, and a lot more big media guys were complaining about the Patriots, like, oh man, that's not a good look for Kraft. Oh man, right. What are they doing? You really didn't see that with the Chiefs. And going back to your thing about the public schools and stuff, we went to the same university. I don't know if they did it back when you were at the university, but we have to do these surveys now. Mm-hmm. They're obviously anonymous. And like you said, in the major we went into, mm-hmm. you probably had all the same professors. I loved all the professors that I had. So there was a couple you didn't like, but you never really went below the steam like to get them out.
No.
Like, so this felt like something like where someone was like, all right, I know it's my last year. Let's try to throw something under the wrench real quick. Mm-hmm.
And I think the text line says from 913, they should be getting massages and treatment whenever they want, in my opinion. And look, that's what I'm saying. Like, if that's like the tip of the iceberg, that can easily be resolved. Because I guarantee you, you could have a hiring expo of massage therapists go through the interview process and hire more. and spend a little bit more money so that you aren't getting these types of complaints and getting these types of results. I don't think it is something that is necessarily a black eye towards the franchise. I think it's just one of those things where, you know, it's like you really thought you cleaned your room really well. And then mom came in and walked through your room and said, well, you didn't clean the back of your dresser. I can see that you just shoved everything in your closet and nothing's really clean. It just looks like you move things around so that from the naked eye, it looks great. So, yeah, I don't think it is an end of the world huge deal, but I think it is something that needs to be addressed because it is your own employee saying something. That being said, we'll have Pete Sweeney on at 7 o'clock. We'll talk more as we get into the 6 o'clock hour. There was some news out of the courtroom today and a lawyer that I can't believe said what he said. I want to dive into that. But on the other side, I'd say this offseason so far has gone almost, maybe not to a certain extent for most of everyone, but I think it has gone almost par for the course for what you could have thought it was going to be. That's JT Noah. I'm Dusty Likens. You're listening to After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sad day for us Curb Your Enthusiasm fans. R.I.P. Richard Lewis. I don't know if you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, but it is a fantastic show. Was a real fantastic show. It's the final season now.
Did not ever watch it.
Great show. But yeah, Richard Lewis was, he has passed away today. One of the main stars of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Great show. Fantastic show. His relationship with Larry David, absolutely hilarious. I don't know if you have a friend that you are 1,000% friends with, but you always seem to have those like miscellaneous arguments, whether it's like how you use your turn signal or how you order a drink at a restaurant. That was Larry David and Richard Lewis's relationship. You can't order a tea and a water, Larry. I don't want to drink tea all the time. I want to drink water. Now you're going to make him bring two glasses. I don't know. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Great show. After hours tonight, tomorrow, and Friday, we are in, I like to call this like the sweeps of after hours. It's like a 3-week window where you'll get me 4 out of 5 nights a week. Because K-State will play one night, home of K-State Wildcats here on 610 Sports Radio. And then baseball starts. And I disappear. Then you get those random day games and I reappear. So the, enjoy it, I guess, or be happy that it's over. I don't know how to tell you how to feel.
So hibernation for you.
Kind of, yeah. It's one of those things where it's like post-Super Bowl, there's really no interference of any other thing that's throughout the week. And then it's like Royals, 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 day game, Royals, 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 day game, off day, Royals, Royals, Royals. And it's like, oh, okay. Which normally tends to be like I'm here on Wednesdays and a random Monday. And I feel like that's like the end of the season of After Hours, which would be season 2. So at least we haven't been, our seasons haven't been canceled yet. That's good. I don't mean like today's canceled. I mean like the series is over. So we're grinding still, but then we'll get to the Royals. And like you heard Vern on that promo, Vern's Hot Stove, episode 2 of the 2024 season will start tomorrow night. He'll be on from 6 to 7, then I'll be on from 7 to 9, and then Friday will be on from 6 to 9, then they'll have Jay Binkley, Richard of the Week, the greatest show of the week on Friday night. They just get off the rails.
I was about to say, Friday night's the best after hours.
That's always the one we look forward to. But one thing that we've always looked forward to here in the sports world, at least in my opinion, is how teams regroup after being successful. And, you know, the Royals in 2014, how do you get back to that? Does it ever happen again? They go back-to-back years. The Chiefs throughout this Mahomes era, it's been the same thing. How do you continue to stay great? How do you survive? And everything that the Chiefs have done since the big questions get asked is they've answered them with loud responses. You know, you lose to New England that first year, and you look like a team that has figured something out that no one else knows about, and that was true. It was Patrick Mahomes, right? 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, MVP, first-year starter. Probably should have gotten to the Super Bowl, didn't. Obviously, there were reasons why, but the next year, it was like, okay, how do you get back to that level? And he did, and he won the Super Bowl. And then after that, the big question was, what are the Chiefs going to do after they give Patrick Mahomes half of the world's population in cash? Right? How are they going to go after the quarterback? And that's always seems to be what is the number one question of a franchise is, can this guy get you the Super Bowl? Okay, I think he can. Okay, if he can, how much money do you have to pay him? And the Chiefs paid Patrick Mahomes. They went back to a Super Bowl after that. They lost. But then they still had all these questions throughout the offseason. Oh, they lost in the Super Bowl. What happened? Well, they've got to adjust their offensive line. They've got to get Simons. They've got to get people there. That's what's got to happen. They did it. Then, obviously, you lose the following year, and Cincinnati takes over. You couldn't get pressure to Joe Burrow. What do? You go address the defense. You go address the defensive line and the secondary. You draft guys like Leo Chenal, Trent McDuffie, Brian Cook, and then what happens? You go to the Super Bowl and you win. And in this last offseason, you needed to find some sort of receiver. You were hoping that others that you drafted in years prior would develop to where we think they could get to, and they didn't. But at least one guy worked out. And where I wrap all of this up in is that this year seems to be going exactly like we would think, like it has before. When there seems to be a noticeable spot on the team that needs to be addressed or something is upcoming, it seems to go kind of the way we think. I will give us all credit. I don't think we saw the Tyreek Hill thing developing the way that it did, but I still feel like there were people out there that were like, there's no way they're going to give Tyreek Hill money, and they were right. Now, there were the stories that there was 23 to 24 offer, then Davante Adams signs the big $28 million contract, and then all of a sudden Tyreek's agent and he were like 30. I think the Tyreek thing happened so fast, that was the biggest shock of it all. I think if you were to go back and sit back and look and say, okay, what's the wide receiver market? Tyreek Hill's a free agent. Are they going to give him all this money? I highly doubt it. And in this offseason, Legarius Sneed, franchise tag. I think a lot of people, once the Super Bowl was over, kind of sat back and thought, they'll probably tag Sneed. Maybe they'll restructure Chris Jones, and they'll go address wide receiver one. And so far, everything that you thought was going to happen, or at least closely to what you thought was going to happen in this offseason, is happening. That's why it's tough when you see news like maybe your favorite corner or favorite defensive player, Legarius Sneed, getting franchise tagged and then be able to seek trade options. And even more so with the MVS cut to save money. Everyone kind of saw that coming as well, and it did happen, in fact. But if you want to see a three-peat, and you think this team can get to a three-peat, you have to know that there always seems to be a way that they address the situation, and they seem to address the situation in a really good way. They gave Patrick Mahomes $500 million. They gave Joe Tooney a contract. They went and got Justin Reed. They drafted guys like Karlaftis and McDuffie. They drafted guys like Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, and they built this. And if they're going to do a three-peat, those moves are going to continue to happen, whether they're in your favorite sort of field or not. Legarius Sneed, he did everything he's supposed to do to get the big bag in the NFL. And at the end of the day, most players will tell you, yeah, it's nice to get a ring, but it's also nice to play this game well enough to where I'm successful and so are my children for several years afterwards. And I think Legarius Sneed has probably done that with the way that he's played football the last 2 years. Plus, back-to-back Super Bowl rings are also a pretty good prize when you look at the other side of that contract that he could possibly get with another team. Coming up on the other side, Matt Tate. He will join us to talk a little bit of KU athletics and the 24-hour whirlwind that has been involved with that university. It's JT Noah, I'm Dusty Likens. You're listening to After Hours. Matt Tate on the other side. Mm-hmm. After Hours on a Wednesday evening. Back to a winter evening. A brisk evening here in February, but we are now joined by Matt Tate here on After Hours. Matt, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, man. How are you?
I can't complain. I played golf on Sunday and Monday last week, so the weather will be okay, and we'll get over it here shortly.
Yeah, you can't complain. You're right. That's very true. Good.
Yeah, you play once in February.
I'm glad you recognize that. I'm dying to get out there. I got a new bag for Christmas, the whole bit, but no luck yet, so good for you.
I appreciate that. Do you want to admit your handicap on air?
Let's see. I am probably currently, I would say 18, 19. Not bad.
I'm okay with that.
Maybe my peak when I was playing a lot was 10, 11, somewhere in there.
I like that.
So, yeah, I'm ready to play, but, you know, it's one of those things. If I don't play regularly, it takes a while to come back, and then somehow it does come back, and then I want to play all the time, and then I don't have time to do that, and then I stop playing, and then it's a vicious cycle. But that's why I got a new bag. You gotta force yourself to get out there with your new bag. That's like, you know, it's a beautiful sight. It's busy and colorful, and I'm ready to rock. So yeah, hopefully this weekend looks golfable, right?
Very much so. I mean, I'm the guy that I'll play it if it's 45 or above, I'll play.
Yeah, like that. I like that. That's good.
So let's talk good news before we talk bad news. Maybe not bad news, but worse news. Today, the contract extension for Lance Leipold, pretty big information there out of Kansas. Seems like a day in which maybe a lot of people were glooming over a loss last night at home or ecstatic or at least relieved that the head man who has turned it around on the football field, at least for the last 2 years, is going nowhere.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, the loss last night, I'll tell you what, that loss, they didn't play great by any stretch, and they're struggling figuring out a little bit of their identity with Kevin McCullough out right now, and really kind of grinding their way to the finish here. But I wouldn't call that a bad loss, despite how they didn't play that well. I mean, BYU's a really good team. If you found BYU in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight later, I don't think anybody should be shocked by that. I mean, I think they play a great style. They're coached so well. They're so relentless. You know, this isn't excuses for KU. You got to win that game in your home building, and they certainly had chances to, being up double digits both halves. So, you know, it's on them for not getting the job done. But I don't know that it should be one of those like embarrassment losses that the fans can't even come out of their house to show their face to their K-State Missouri coworker friends. You know, like it's not on that level. So, but yeah, disappointing, no doubt. And so I'm sure, yeah, today's football news was a welcome distraction, and it's obviously much, much more than that. I mean, it's a huge, huge deal. Not necessarily because anybody thought Lance was going anywhere. I think we calmed the waters when that whole Washington thing happened, and it was very clear that he was committed to KU and KU was committed to him. And, you know, they've been working on finalizing this since that, and really started talking about it even before that. But nonetheless, what makes it huge, in my opinion, are just the numbers, man. I mean, Kansas is stepping up to the plate like we've never seen before. And frankly, like a lot of schools don't do. They're paying this guy real, real money. They're giving him resources to pay his assistants real money, which is a huge part of it. And they've got him, I think it's locked up through 29 right now, which will probably be here before we know it. But at the same time, seems like, you know, it's still pretty far in the distance right now. And you know, they can kind of just sit back and enjoy the ride from here to there and see where it takes you. So big news that they got it done and that he's obviously even more committed than he already was. But man, the dollar amounts, the money, putting him in the top three or four of the Big 12 conference. That's just, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even 15, 20 years ago, that's unfathomable stuff. And not only is it a reality now, they're getting it done and they're using that as the latest sort of bit of momentum that this program's really, really riding on. I look at this Kansas football program like those ridiculous, you know, surfers down there in Australia that ride that wave that doesn't even look like it could possibly be real. But that's where Kansas football is right now, just way up on the top of that thing and just riding it and loving it. And, you know, they'll go as long as they can go. And obviously they keep adding to their momentum. So really, really good days at KU for that football program and the AD and the coach and his assistants and obviously the players too. This is a big deal for them.
Yeah, I look at this as kind of like, I don't know, I don't really have like an NBA team or necessarily like a favorite college team, but you see a team that went through just so much disappointment, so much, you know, hires, and maybe they were thinking too much outside of the box. And, you know, they find this guy, and he's successful elsewhere. He's carried that into, you know, Lawrence. And now it's, you know, every year, I think, you know, when he got there and they had the surprise season a couple of years ago where, you know, they have, you know, 5-6 wins, and it's like, can they do it again? They get to a bowl game, they get 6 wins, they play Arkansas. It's one of the most intensifying KU football games I've ever seen, the way that thing ended. And then last year, you know, it was the narrative might have been like, okay, can you repeat success? And, you know, with these additions and with these contract signings, you have to think that the expectations now become kind of on a different level of what it used to be of just like, well, just do it again. Try to win 5 games. Try to, you know, be relevant. And now it's kind of like, okay, go win the whole damn thing. Or, you know, how Roger Dorn says it or I guess it's Jake Taylor says it in Major League, it's time to win the whole effing thing. And I'm not saying that they should go out there and have those sort of expectations, but maybe they should, right, with the way the team's been and consistently been over these last couple of years, at least on the football side of things.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they do. That's a big part of the reason that Devin Neal decided to come back for one more season. And, you know, it's funny because it reminds me a lot of the basketball program, and obviously not overall and not historically speaking. But one of the things that's made Bill Self so successful year after year after year after year is he has emphasized the hell out of winning the Big 12 conference. And they've done it a bunch. And usually, as good as that conference has been, if you win the Big 12, you put yourself in position to be a 1 or 2 seed. And if you're in a position to be a 1 or 2 seed, you got a chance to make a run. And they've made plenty of runs and won plenty of Big 12 titles. And so I think it's human nature for Jalen Daniels and Devin Neal and the rest of that offense that's back and some of those guys on defense, whether they're established veterans or guys kind of coming up. You know, they're definitely aware that there's a playoff next year, and they're aware that, you know, if there was a playoff this year, they would have been in the mix for that heading into that K-State game that, you know, they had a chance to win. And so I think they understand that's within reach, but I do think that they continue to put their focus on, we want to win a Big 12 championship. And same sort of thing, right? If you win the Big 12 championship, you're going to be in the big dance. You're going to be in the college football playoff or whatever they're calling it now. So, I think their expectations are huge and also realistic. You know, I saw the other day that they're the third one of those online gambling sites or whatever had Kansas football as the third favorite to win the Big 12 this year. I think it was K-State and then Utah and then Kansas. And so this isn't just a thing happening in Lawrence where it's like a feel-good story and the momentum's building and everybody's smiling and high-fiving each other. You know, like people outside of Lawrence, even outside of the Big 12, are recognizing that what Lance is building here is very real and something to be reckoned with. And from the looks of it, it certainly looks as if it's sustainable. And that's been his goal from minute one. And Travis Goff's as well when he hired Lance was, you know, we want to get this thing turned around, but we want to build something that can be sustained for the long haul. And so you're looking at the commitment that they're making both to the coach and his staff, but also with the stadium project and all that. Like, those are all things for a bigger vision, a long-term future of success and commitment, right? Those aren't just like, well, that'll be good for this year. No, that stadium's part of a $450 million project that is going to completely change the way Kansas football is viewed and the landscape of Lawrence even. I mean, it, you know, that's massive stuff. That's not just for a nice story for a couple of years. I mean, that's legacy stuff. That's generational stuff. And so that's kind of how I see it with Lance and this commitment, like you're saying. I mean, they are absolutely raising the bar
And they're not just raising the bar to make it look good and so people take them seriously. They're raising the bar to keep pushing themselves as well. So it's exactly what you would expect from what you've seen from Lance's career and the building that he's done at other programs. And, I think that's how he's done it elsewhere. I think it's happened faster here than a lot of places and maybe than anybody would have expected. But like you said, I mean, that's back-to-back bowl seasons. It's a bowl win. That's 9 wins last year. I mean, it doesn't seem like it was a fluke. It seems like now you kind of have to expect those things. And the days of, hey, if you just win 6 games every year, they'll build a statue for you. That's not really what we're talking about around here anymore. I mean, they're talking about bigger goals and they're talking about them as if they're realistic and good for them for doing so, because that's the path they appear to be on.
Flip it over to the basketball side. I said bad loss earlier. I meant the way that the team maybe had played. I know Hunter Dickinson was 6 of 15 from the free throw line last night, missed some close range shots. They're missing one of their better players, Dewan Harris, maybe figure out scoring there. But I had two opinions, and Rob Breton, a coworker of mine who's a KU alum, I said, this is one of two things that are going to happen. And this is just me being real, Matt. Either they're going to get knocked out in the second round and everyone's going to say, this is just one of Bill's, not one of his strongest teams, injuries plague the team. Or here's the deal. We're going to get all the way down to the March tournament. They're going to be in the Final Four, and everybody's going to say, oh my gosh, this reminds us of the Tyshawn Thomas Robinson year where no one thought it could happen. And then all of a sudden we get here and it's like KU's in the Final Four. Everybody hates KU fans because they think the season's over, the sky is falling, and yet here they are playing in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. I know that might seem far-fetched now, but, maybe just real quick what your take is on this current status of the basketball team.
Yeah, I don't think either of those are crazy. And obviously, if both of those are possible, then anything in between is probably possible, too. The difference, I think, you brought up that 2012 team, and I know you weren't comparing teams specifically, personnel-wise and all that, but I think what this team's missing, that some of those teams that have made those kinds of runs before at Kansas have or had, that this one doesn't, these guys haven't figured out how to finish those games, right? Like that 2012 team was incredible at just finding a way to win. I mean, they did it that whole tournament, even dating back to the second round in Omaha against Purdue. They were dead in the water. Robbie Hummel was going nuts and they couldn't stop him. And somehow they found a way to get out of there with more points than Purdue did in a game that for a long time looked like it was going to end their season. And same thing happened in the Final Four that year with the Ohio State game. They had a dogfight on their hands in, I think it was the Elite Eight against North Carolina. Just when it got crunch time, that team elevated its game and found a way to win, just like the Missouri game in the Fieldhouse, the iconic matchup before the Tigers left for the SEC. I mean, that was the same thing, right? They find a way to win those games, and so have many of Self's teams, and this one isn't one of those. At least it hasn't shown to be yet. I mean, they have some good wins. Nobody will argue that. But the other night, last night's a perfect example. BYU got the lead late and ended up going up 3, and Nick Timberlake hit a 3 from the corner to tie it. Big shot for him personally. Big shot for the building, tied the game with, 2.5 minutes left or something like that. BYU, to their credit, came right back down, jacked up another 3 and drilled it, took the lead right back. And then you go down to the other end and Hunter Dickinson throws in a 3, just as big a shot for him as it was for Timberlake. I think it was only his 3rd made 3-pointer of February, so he needed that one to fall. Again, that ties the game. I think it was at 66 all at that point with 2 minutes to go. Those are the games Kansas wins. Like, it's tied with 2 minutes and we're at our place. We'll take Kansas. I think everybody would have bet on Kansas in that moment, but they didn't find a way. And that's a credit to BYU, but that's also sort of underscores the thing that we're talking about with this team. They just haven't quite pieced it all together to where you feel confident that when they get in those situations, no matter what time of year it is or who the opponent is or whatever, it's hard to have the confidence that they're going to deliver. They can, and they might, and if they find a way to do it 3, 4, 5 games in a row, then they'll have a special a special run coming in March. But, you know, is anybody going to bet on that? Is anybody going to bank on that? Do you sit there and confidently say it's going to happen? I think that's what's missing right now. So they can change the narrative. They've got, you know, three really tough games left. Obviously, K-State at home shouldn't be terribly tough, but it's a rivalry game, and, you know, they have revenge on their mind.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on After Hours on a Wednesday evening. Back to a winter evening. A brisk evening here in February, but we are now joined by Matt Tate here on After Hours. Matt, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, man. How are you?
I can't complain. I played golf on Sunday and Monday last week, so the weather will be okay, and we'll get over it here shortly.
Yeah, you can't complain. You're right. That's very true. Good.
Yeah, play once
in
February.
I'm glad you recognize that. I'm dying to get out there. I got a new bag for Christmas, the whole bit, but no luck yet, so good for you.
I appreciate that. Do you want to admit your handicap on air?
Let's see. I am probably currently, I would say, 18, 19. Not bad.
I'm okay with that.
What's maybe my peak when I was playing a lot was 10, 11, somewhere in there.
I like that.
So, I'm ready to play. But, you know, it's one of those things. If I don't play regularly, it takes a while to come back, and then somehow it does come back, and then I want to play all the time, and then I don't have time to do that, and then I stop playing, and then it's a vicious cycle. But that's why I got a new bag. You gotta force yourself to get out there with your new bag. That's like, you know, it's a beautiful sight. It's busy and colorful, and I'm ready to rock. So yeah, hopefully this weekend looks golfable, right?
Very much so. I mean, I'm the guy that I'll play it if it's 45 or above, I'll play.
Yeah, like that. Like that. That's good.
So let's talk good news before we talk bad news. Maybe not bad news, but worse news. Today, the contract extension for Lance Leipold, pretty big information there out of Kansas. Seems like a day in which maybe a lot of people were glooming over a loss last night at home, or ecstatic, or at least relieved that the head man who has turned it around on the football field, at least for the last 2 years, is going nowhere.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, the loss last night, I'll tell you what, that loss, they didn't play great by any stretch, and they're struggling figuring out a little bit of their identity with Kevin McCullough out right now, and really kind of grinding their way to the finish here, but I wouldn't call that a bad loss, despite how they didn't play that well. I mean, BYU's a really good team. If you found BYU in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight later, I don't think anybody should be shocked by that. I mean, I think they play a great style. They're coached so well. They're so relentless. You know, this isn't excuses for KU. You got to win that game in your home building. And they certainly had chances to, being up double digits both halves. So, you know, it's on them for not getting the job done. But I don't know that it should be one of those, like, embarrassment losses that the fans can't even come out of their house to show their face to their K-State Missouri coworker friends. You know, like, it's not on that level. So, disappointing, no doubt. And so I'm sure, today's football news was a welcome distraction. And it's obviously much, much more than that. I mean, it's a huge, huge deal. Not necessarily because anybody thought Lance was going anywhere. I think we calmed the waters when that whole Washington thing happened, and it was very clear that he was committed to KU and KU was committed to him. And, you know, they've been working on finalizing this since that, and really started talking about it even before that. But nonetheless, what makes it huge, in my opinion, are just the numbers, man. I mean, Kansas is stepping up to the plate like we've never seen before, and frankly, like a lot of schools don't do. They're paying this guy real money. They're giving him resources to pay his assistants real money, which is a huge part of it. And they've got him, I think it's locked up through 29 right now, which will probably be here before we know it. But at the same time, seems like, you know, it's still pretty far in the distance right now. And you know, they can kind of just sit back and enjoy the ride from here to there and see where it takes you. So big news that they got it done and that he's obviously even more committed than he already was. But man, the dollar amounts, the money, putting him in the top three or four of the Big 12 conference. That's just, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even 15, 20 years ago, that's unfathomable stuff. And not only are they, is it a reality now, they're getting it done and they're using that as the latest sort of bit of momentum that this program's really riding on. I look at this Kansas football program like those ridiculous, you know, surfers down there in Australia that ride that wave that doesn't even look like it could possibly be real. But that's where Kansas football is right now, just way up on the top of that thing and just riding it and loving it. And, you know, they'll go as long as they can go. And obviously they keep adding to their momentum. So really good days at KU for that football program and the AD and the coach and his assistants and obviously the players too. This is a big deal for them.
Yeah, I look at this as kind of like, I don't know, I don't really have like an NBA team or necessarily like a favorite college team, but you see a team that went through just so much disappointment, so much, you know, hires, and maybe they were thinking too much outside of the box. And, you know, they find this guy, and he's successful elsewhere. He's carried that into, you know, Lawrence. And now it's, you know, every year, I think, you know, when he got there and they had the surprise season a couple of years ago where, you know, they have, you know, 5-6 wins, and it's like, can they do it again? They get to a bowl game, they get 6 wins, they play Arkansas. It's one of the most intensifying KU football games I've ever seen, the way that thing ended. And then last year, you know, it was I think the narrative might have been like, okay, can you repeat success? And, you know, with these additions and with these contract signings, you have to think that the expectations now become kind of on a different level of what it used to be of just like, well, just do it again. Try to win 5 games. Try to, you know, be relevant. And now it's kind of like, okay, go win the whole damn thing. Or, you know, how Roger Dorn says it in, or I guess it's Jake Taylor says it in Major League, it's time to win the whole effing thing. And I'm not saying that they should go out there and have those sort of expectations, but maybe they should, right, with the way the team's been and consistently been over these last couple of years, at least on the football side of things.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they do. That's a big part of the reason that Devin Neal decided to come back for one more season. And, you know, it's funny because it reminds me a lot of the basketball program, and obviously not overall and not historically speaking. But one of the things that's made Bill Self so successful year after year after year after year is he has emphasized the hell out of winning the Big 12 conference. And they've done it a bunch. And usually, as good as that conference has been, if you win the Big 12, you put yourself in position to be a 1 or 2 seed. And if you're in a position to be a 1 or 2 seed, you got a chance to make a run. And they've made plenty of runs and won plenty of Big 12 titles. And so I think it's human nature for Jalen Daniels and Devin Neal and the rest of that offense that's back and some of those guys on defense, whether they're established veterans or guys kind of coming up. You know, they're definitely aware that there's a playoff next year, and they're aware that, you know, if there was a playoff this year, they would have been in the mix for that heading into that K-State game that, you know, they had a chance to win. And so I think they understand that that's within reach, but I do think that they continue to put their focus on, we want to win a Big 12 championship. And same sort of thing, right? If you win the Big 12 championship, you're going to be in the big dance. You're going to be in the college football playoff or whatever they're calling it now. So, I think their expectations are huge and also realistic. You know, I saw the other day that they're the third one of those online gambling sites or whatever had Kansas football as the third favorite to win the Big 12 this year. I think it was K-State and then Utah and then Kansas. And so this isn't just a thing happening in Lawrence where it's like a feel-good story and the momentum's building and everybody's smiling and high-fiving each other. You know, like people outside of Lawrence, even outside of the Big 12, are recognizing that what Lance is building here is very real and something to be reckoned with. And from the looks of it, it certainly looks as if it's sustainable. And that's been his goal from minute one. And Travis Goff as well, when he hired Lance, was, you know, we want to get this thing turned around, but we want to build something that can be sustained for the long haul. And so you're looking at the commitment that they're making both to the coach and his staff, but also with the stadium project and all that. Like, those are all things for a bigger vision, a long-term future of success and commitment, right? Those aren't just like, well, that'll be good for this year. No, no, that stadium's $450 million, part of a $450 million project that is going to completely change the way Kansas football is viewed and the landscape of Lawrence even. I mean, that's massive stuff. That's not just for a nice story for a couple of years. I mean, that's legacy stuff. That's generational stuff. And so that's kind of how I see it with Lance and this commitment, like you're saying. I mean, they are absolutely raising the bar, and they're not just raising the bar to make it look good and so people take them seriously. They're raising the bar to keep pushing themselves as well. So it's exactly what you would expect from what you've seen from Lance's career and the building that he's done at other programs. And, I think that's how he's done it elsewhere. I think it's happened faster here than a lot of places and maybe than anybody would have expected. But like you said, I mean, that's back-to-back bowl seasons. That's a bowl win. That's 9 wins last year. I mean, it doesn't seem like it was a fluke. It seems like now you kind of have to expect those things. And the days of, hey, if you just win 6 games every year, they'll build a statue for you, that's not really what we're talking about around here anymore. I mean, they're talking about bigger goals and they're talking about them as if they're realistic, and good for them for doing so, because that's the path they appear to be on.
Flip it over to the basketball side. I said bad loss earlier. I meant the way that the team maybe had played. I know Hunter Dickinson was 6 of 15 from the free throw line last night, missed some close range shots. They're missing one of their better players, Dewan Harris, maybe figure out scoring there. But I had two opinions, and Rob Breton, a coworker of mine who's a KU alum, I said, this is one of two things that are going to happen. And this is just me being real, Matt. Either they're going to get knocked out in the second round and everyone's going to say, this is just one of Bill's, not one of his strongest teams, injuries plagued the team. Or here's the deal. We're going to get all the way down to the March tournament. They're going to be in the Final Four, and everybody's going to say, oh my gosh, this reminds us of the Tyshawn Thomas Robinson year where no one thought it could happen. And then all of a sudden we get here and it's like KU's in the Final Four. Everybody hates KU fans because they think the season's over, the sky is falling, and yet here they are playing in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. I know that might seem far-fetched now, but, maybe just real quick what your take is on this current status of the basketball team.
Yeah, I don't think either of those are crazy. And obviously, if both of those are possible, then anything in between is probably possible, too. The difference, I think, you brought up that 2012 team, and I know you weren't comparing teams specifically, personnel-wise and all that, but I think what this team's missing, that some of those teams that have made those kinds of runs before at Kansas have or had, that this one doesn't, these guys haven't figured out how to finish those games, right? Like, that 2012 team was incredible at just finding a way to win. I mean, they did it that whole tournament, even dating back to the second round in Omaha against Purdue. They were dead in the water. Robbie Hummel was going nuts and they couldn't stop him. And somehow they found a way to get out of there with more points than Purdue did in a game that for a long time looked like it was going to end their season. And same thing happened in the Final Four that year with the Ohio State game. They had a dogfight on their hands in, I think it was the Elite Eight against North Carolina. Just when it got crunch time, that team elevated its game and found a way to win, just like the Missouri game in the Fieldhouse, the iconic matchup before the Tigers left for the SEC. I mean, that was the same thing, right? They find a way to win those games, and so have many of Self's teams, and this one isn't one of those. At least it hasn't shown to be yet. I mean, they have some good wins. Nobody will argue that. But the other night, last night's a perfect example. BYU got the lead late and ended up going up three, and Nick Timberlake hit a three from the corner to tie it. Big shot for him personally. Big shot for the building, tied the game with, I don't know, 2.5 minutes left or something like that. BYU, to their credit, came right back down, jacked up another three and drilled it, took the lead right back. And then you go down to the other end and Hunter Dickinson throws in a three. Just as big a shot for him as it was for Timberlake. I think it was only his third made three-pointer of February, so he needed that one to fall. Again, that ties the game. I think it was at 66 all at that point with 2 minutes to go. Those are the games Kansas wins. Like, it's tied with 2 minutes and we're at our place. We'll take Kansas. You know, I think everybody would have bet on Kansas in that moment, but they didn't find a way. And that's a credit to BYU, but that's also sort of underscores the thing that we're talking about with this team. They just haven't quite pieced it all together to where you feel confident that when they get in those situations, no matter what time of year it is or who the opponent is or whatever, you just, it's hard to have the confidence that they're going to deliver. They can, and they might, and if they find a way to do it 3, 4, 5 games in a row, then they'll have a special run coming in March. But, you know, is anybody going to bet on that? Is anybody going to bank on that? Do you sit there and confidently say it's going to happen? I think that's what's missing right now. So they can change the narrative. They've got, you know, 3 really tough games left. Obviously, K-State at home shouldn't be terribly tough, but it's a rivalry game, and, you know, they have revenge on their minds, and they'll be amped up for that game. And then Baylor this weekend and Houston the following weekend on the road. So, you know, if they win those 3 games, this team takes a whole different spin and a whole different set of momentum into March or into the postseason. If they go 1-2 in those games, then I think that would make them 7-7 in their last 14 games. And that's not a real confident place to be for a team, especially with the expectations and the standards that Kansas has. So they have time to figure it out, but they're running out of time. And they also, you know, you have to question the personnel. It's not a deep team, and trying to do all of this that we've just talked about, trying to do all of that or any of that without Kevin McCullough in the lineup, it makes it even harder. I mean, it's already a tough task with him out there, but if he's not in, if he's not back, it's really hard to look at them and say, yeah, they'll probably make a run. I mean, they could, you know, and that's going to always be the disclaimer. They could, because they have a Hall of Fame coach and they have some pretty talented players all the same. But, you know, is anybody going to pick them in their brackets? Probably not. Is anybody going to count on it, bet on it, any of those things? Probably not. But, you know, that's why they play it. And that tournament, as much as anything in sports, is about the matchups. So if they catch a good bracket with a couple of good matchups or things fall their way, then, you know how that thing goes. You could definitely make a run. But they need to get right now. They need to play well these next few games to end the regular season and kind of feel good about themselves again, which they did against Texas just, you know, less than a week ago. I mean, or I guess it is a little more than a week ago, but whatever. They did their most recent game before last night was a feel-good kind of team win, and that was without McCullough too. So it just shows you how fickle these things are. I mean, one day you're flying and you feel really good about that win against a team like Texas with some good athletes and good talent, and you kind of handle them. And then a few nights later, you're sitting there going, what the hell's the matter with us? So these next 3 games are as important as anything for these guys, just to really tap into their identity and kind of figure out, who are we as we get into the most important part of the season? Because if you go into March or the postseason not knowing who you are, then you really don't have a chance.
Matt, I appreciate the time tonight, man. Take care. Enjoy the end of this season. And the next thing you know, you'll blink. It'll be football season. But we do appreciate tonight, Matt Tate, joining the show here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. Take care, my man.
You bet. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good. Matt Tate there of the Jayhawks. Follows that team quite often, quite efficiently. On the other side, I want to have a slight conversation. Somebody pleaded guilty today, and I can't believe his lawyer doubled down after the last time we heard his audio. That's JT Noah. I'm Dusty Like. It's coming up on the other side. Chiefsaholic. Bunch of news. Kansas City Chiefs news continues. Listen after Hour 610 Sports Radio.
Here, final
segment of the 6 o'clock hour. We'll be here until 9 p.m. Pete Sweeney will join us here in about 5 minutes at 7 o'clock. I couldn't believe this today. Now, I understood that the news that came out about Chiefsaholic, that he was, pleading guilty? Is that right?
Yeah, he pled guilty.
Pled guilty to almost everything that you could imagine that came out, right?
He also had to give up a signed poster, I think, of Patrick Mahomes, which was a part of the deal. Crazy.
Yep. Xavier Balbadar, an infamous Chiefs superfan, pleaded guilty today to charges related to 11 bank robberies in 7 states, laundering proceeds through the area casinos. He faces up to 50 years in prison, must pay $532,000 in restitution, forfeit an autographed painting of Patrick Mahomes. I feel like that's what got him. I feel like that, having to give that up, is what got the guy. When they were like, well, there's two things. I don't know if you've seen the audio of his lawyer yet, but there's two things that happened today when I think Chiefs are. One is the lawyer came up to him and he said, okay, what's the deal? He said, well, you're going to have to give back $532,000. Okay. I got that somewhere in the ground. I know where it's at. It'll be fine. Okay. Face up to 50 years in prison. Okay. Probably not going to face 50 years in prison. Over under 15. I'd go under. And then he hit him with the, and we've got to forfeit the signed Patrick Mahomes painting. And at that point he went, why? Because they know that that's what's going to hit you the hardest, is you having to give up that painting that you so desirably love, that I would assume if he was a free man in his house, it would probably be above his bed. My opinion. And then I'm assuming that he asked his lawyer, how'd it go in front of the press? And I would assume the lawyer said, you know what? Nailed it. I mean, we gave them a speech. We told them that you are prepared to go through the justice system, and we're ready for it. And he said, okay, I trust you. And what he didn't see is this audio.
Folks, the government has been blitzing, and Xavier's pocket was collapsing. But today, Xavier stepped into the pressure. He took responsibility for his actions. He stood up in court, humble and repentant, and admitted what he had done. Now, if I know anything about Xavier, and if the Chiefs Kingdom knows anything about Chiefsaholic, we know that he doesn't give up. We know that if he stumbled and he fell, he didn't let his knee touch the ground. And that's because he's capable of doing a great thing. And he knows that there's still hope. We still have a lot of work to do on his case, but Xavier wants everyone to know that he loves the Chiefs Kingdom, he loves Kansas City, and he hopes that you'll rally to his support. Thank you and God bless.
Rally to his support.
He fell, but he didn't let his knee touch the ground.
His wallet was being pressured. And he stood against the blitz. Like, I just don't, there is no way that that this lawyer is expensive. Like, this seems like some Better Call Saul stuff. This seems like a Hollywood movie.
This is like his best friend. He's like, oh, I found you in Las Vegas. I'm going to use you real quick.
He even called him Xavier. He doesn't know this guy. Or he does.
Folks, the government has been blitzing.
Government's been blitzing.
Xavier's pocket was collapsing.
Yes.
He says Xavier, and then he says Xavier.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know which one.
He's a lawyer from my cousin Vinny. That's what he sounds like. I can't believe that this is an actual thing. It actually happened today. That's actually real audio. And just imagine, did you nail it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we nailed it. And then one day, if he ever is a free man again, he will hear this audio and think to himself, this is why I got 30 years instead of 15. Coming up on the other side, Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, the chief editor, will join the show.
He'll talk about the stadium news. He'll talk about the off-season moves. We'll get all that going for you. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. Segment of the 6 o'clock hour. We'll be here until 9 p.m. Pete Sweeney will join us here in about 5 minutes at 7 o'clock. I couldn't believe this today. Now, I understood that the news that came out about Chiefsaholic, that he was, pleading guilty? Is that right?
Yeah, he pled guilty.
Pled guilty to almost everything that you could imagine that came out, right?
He also had to give up a signed poster, I think, of Patrick Mahomes, which was a part of the deal. Crazy.
Yep. Xavier Balbadar, an infamous Chiefs superfan, pleaded guilty today to charges related to 11 bank robberies in 7 states, laundering proceeds through the area casinos. He faces up to 50 years in prison, must pay $532,000 in restitution, forfeit an autographed painting of Patrick Mahomes. I feel like that's what got him. I feel like that, having to give that up, is what got the guy. When they were like, well, there's two things. I don't know if you've seen the audio of his lawyer yet, but there's two things that happened today when I think Chiefsaholic. One is the lawyer came up to him and he said, okay, what's the deal? He said, well, you're going to have to give back $532,000. Okay. I got that somewhere in the ground. I know where it's at. It'll be fine. Okay. Face up to 50 years in prison. Okay. Probably not going to face 50 years in prison. Over under 15. I'd go under. And then he hit him with the, and we've got to forfeit the signed Patrick Mahomes painting. And at that point he went, why? Because they know that that's what's going to hit you the hardest, is you having to give up that painting that you so desirably love, that I would assume if he was a free man in his house, it would probably be above his bed. My opinion. And then, I'm assuming that he asked his lawyer, how'd it go in front of the press? And I would assume the lawyer said, you know what? Nailed it. I mean, we gave them a speech. We told them that you are prepared to go through the justice system, and we're ready for it. And he said, okay, I trust you. And what he didn't see is this audio.
Folks, the government has been blitzing, and Xavier's pocket was collapsing. But today, Xavier stepped into the pressure. He took responsibility for his actions. He stood up in court, humble and repentant, and admitted what he had done. Now, if I know anything about Xavier, and if the Chiefs Kingdom knows anything about Chiefsaholic, we know that he doesn't give up. We know that if he stumbled and he fell, he didn't let his knee touch the ground. And that's because he's capable of doing a great thing. And he knows that there's still hope. We still have a lot of work to do on his case, but Xavier wants everyone to know that he loves the Chiefs Kingdom, he loves Kansas City, and he hopes that you'll rally to his support. Thank you and God bless.
Rally to his support.
He fell, but he didn't let his knee touch the ground.
His wallet was being pressured. And he stood against the blitz. Like, I just don't, there's no way, there is no way that that this lawyer is expensive. Like, this seems like some Better Call Saul stuff. This seems like a Hollywood movie.
This is like his best friend. He's like, oh, I found you in Las Vegas. I'm going to use you real quick.
He even called him Xavier. He doesn't know this guy. Or he does.
Folks, the government has been blitzing.
Government's been blitzing.
Xavier's pocket was collapsing.
Yes.
He says Xavier, and then he says Xavier.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know which one.
He's a lawyer from my cousin Vinny. That's what he sounds like. I can't believe that this is an actual thing. It actually happened today. That's actually real audio. And just imagine, did you nail it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we nailed it. And then one day, if he ever is a free man again, he will hear this audio and think to himself, this is why I got 30 years instead of 15. Coming up on the other side, Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, the chief editor, will join the show. He'll talk about the stadium news. He'll talk about the off-season moves. We'll get all that going for you. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.